From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, he continues a message called A Fatal Flaw in a Man of God, part of this series of studies on the judges of Israel. In the opening chapters of 1 Samuel, we find the account of the last two of the judges, Eli and Samuel. Eli was both a judge and a high priest, a man of many good qualities, and at first glance, Eli appears to be an exemplary servant of God. But as Dr. Cairns points out, Eli failed as a father, and his failure resulted in disastrous consequences for his family, himself, and for the nation. Eli's sons were wicked, even as they served in the tabernacle, and Eli failed to restrain them. In the eyes of God, this was a serious sin, for it amounted to honoring those sons above the Lord himself. Eli's failure as a father undid all that he had done as a high priest. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from the book of Genesis in chapter 4 and verse 2. Abel was a keeper of sheep. As a shepherd, Abel sanctified his work to the glory of God and offered a sacrifice of blood upon his altar. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. This early type of our Lord is exceedingly clear and distinct. Like the first streak of light which tinges the east at sunrise, it does not reveal everything, but it clearly manifests the great fact that the sun is coming. As we see Abel, a shepherd and yet a priest, offering a sacrifice of sweet smell unto God, we discern our Lord, who brings before his Father a sacrifice to which Jehovah ever hath respect. Abel was hated by his brother, hated without a cause, and even so was the Savior. The natural and carnal man hated the accepted man in whom the Spirit of grace was found, and rested not until his blood had been shed. Abel fell, and sprinkled his altar and sacrifice with his own blood, and therein sets forth the Lord Jesus, slain by the enmity of man while serving as a priest before the Lord. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Let us weep over him as we view him slain by the hatred of mankind, staining the horns of his altar with his own blood. Abel's blood speaketh. The Lord said unto Cain, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The blood of Jesus hath a mighty tongue, and the import of its prevailing cry is not vengeance, but mercy. It is precious beyond all preciousness to stand at the altar of our good shepherd, to see him bleeding there as the slaughtered priest, and then to hear his blood speaking peace to all his flock, peace in our conscience, peace between Jew and Gentile, peace between man and his offended Maker, peace all down the ages of eternity for blood-washed men. Abel is the first shepherd in order of time, but our hearts shall ever place Jesus first in order of excellence. Thou great keeper of the sheep, we the people of thy pasture bless thee with our whole hearts when we see thee slain for us.
With his stripes, sacrifice he died, that the law be satisfied, and all our sin, and all our sin, and all our sin was laid on him. Who can
In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time: A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Thank you.
greatest men of God, men who were really men, the Luthers, the Calvins, the Knoxes, the Ridleys and the Latimers, those were men of big heart, men who could weep with those who wept, men who were touched with the feelings of those who were in deep trouble, compassionate hearts. Eli was a man of compassion. He was also submissive. I admire how he took the message of judgment. In the second instance, when Samuel brought that message in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 18, we read, Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him, and he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." He has just received a message, "Your two sons will be dead men in one day," very quickly. "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." "Your entire house is blighted. The high priesthood will be taken from you." Something that finally was brought to pass in the days of Solomon, when he took the high priesthood from Abiathar and transferred it to Zadok, who was of the house of Eleazar. Eli bows his head. He says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good unto him." He was a man who was submissive to the dispositions of the will of God. You know, life will go a lot better for God's people if they learn to bow to the will of God. If they learn to step out on God's word and say, God does what seems good to him and he does everything well. Our Savior makes no mistakes. We go through life sometimes and we're kicking and we're struggling and we wonder, why does the Lord allow this? Why does the Lord allow the other thing? We are so often in the place of fighting the will of God that we destroy much of our own spiritual usefulness and much of our own spiritual joy. We can certainly learn submissiveness from Eli. And of course, he was a pious man. We read that he trembled for the ark of God. He had a deep respect. He was not like his sons in this. He had a deep respect for all that that ark stood for. Eli prized the presence of God in Israel. Eli prized the knowledge of the covenant of grace that was sealed by the blood that was sprinkled upon the mercy seat on that ark within the holy place. Eli knew the theology of blood atonement, and he loved it. He was a pious man. My friend, we can learn again from Eli his compassion, his submissiveness, and his piety. Think of him not only as a man, but as a father. Now the picture changes. It's sad that some people have better theology in their heart than they actually work out in their lives. For some reason or other, these things did not translate into action in Eli's home. Now there's something wrong here. He failed in the home. I wonder, it has been suggested by some researchers, that Eli possibly got too busy in the public arena. He certainly had an immense burden to carry. He was the high priest. He was in charge of the entire complex ecclesiastical structure in Israel. He also was the judge. He was a man invested with tremendous responsibilities. And it may well have been that he got so busy in public affairs that he neglected these young men at the time they most needed his guiding hand. You know, you can never allow yourself to be so busy, whether it's in preaching or administering God's work or traveling the world in evangelism or whatever. You can never allow yourself to become so busy and say, "I'm doing the will of God," and abandon the children that God gave you and expect that they're going to turn out all right in the end. If they do, it will certainly not be any thanks to the input that you have made. The will of God is never that you abandon your parental responsibility. Turn that around and you'll see that the time and the effort that are put in to the proper biblical rearing of children, especially in those early formative years of their life, they are never wasted. There may be other things that appear to be more glamorous. There may be other things that will bring you into the public eye. But you will be playing the fool if you don't give the best of your effort, the best of your time, to the children that God has given you. I think that if you look at this, you'll find that more children of Christian parents are brought to Christ through the personal efforts, the personal testimony, the personal presentation of the gospel by their parents than in any other way. Christianity is a home religion. It's a family religion. The promises to you and to your children. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. God works in the household of his people. And it is a foolish man who allows anything, however important that thing may be, to take his attention away from the children that God has given him. There are lasting benefits for your home, for your family line, when you do the will of God in the home. There are also lasting consequences of a most disastrous nature when you fail to do the will of God in the home, when you rebel against the Lord, when you put other things before the Lord, and especially before your children. So many people think, when I have the career under control, then I'll get back to looking after the kids. It's too late then. Well, I make enough money to provide Christian education for them. You can send them to hell with your money and your Christian education if you don't give them what God says you have to give them. Eli, I have no doubt, could have said the same thing. He and his children brought up in and around the tabernacle. There were women who were vowed to purity, to chastity, and to the service of the tabernacle. And I have no doubt that they would have helped in a mighty way to raise these two young men. But you see, Eli could not fob off his parental responsibility to somebody else, and neither can you. Across America, there are broken homes, there are heartbroken parents who gave their kids to Christian school teachers and said, that's where the responsibility lies, while they go out to make an extra $30,000 or $40,000 in a year. I'm not berating the Christian school teacher. I'm simply saying that no Christian school teacher can ever take the God-given place of a godly father and a godly mother who give all that they have for the cause of Christ in their own home. Can't be done. Eli, I believe, made the mistake of abandoning Hophni and Phinehas at the most formative and the most important time in their lives. And he reared two of the worst apostates that any man of God ever had the burden of watching go down to hell. You look at the history of evangelism, and you'll see some of the great, the stellar names in world evangelism reared sons who became apostates. And I think you can see very often the reason why. When they were gone saving the world, they left their kids to go to hell. That's what Eli did. Then we read he didn't restrain them. He was indulgent. There was not only the failure due to his being overextended in other areas, but he simply didn't restrain them. He was the kind of an easygoing father who allowed them as much latitude as possible. Do you notice what it says? When the prophet came to him, he told him quite clearly, I've done all this for your house, but these sons of yours and you, you don't honor me. You despise me. And then as he spoke it through Samuel, he says to him, you didn't, and the literal word is, frown upon them. Here they are being vile. Here they are living in immorality at the very gate of the temple. Here they are making a mockery of the sacrifice of God. And the Lord says, you didn't frown upon them. You didn't chastise them. You didn't hold them back. Chapter 2, verse 29 says, you honored them above me. Now, I want you to notice very carefully, and again, I want to emphasize this to every Christian parent. Notice the interpretation the Lord puts on this matter. When Christian parents indulge their children contrary to the Word of God, when you are not willing to apply the Word of God to your children, God says, you honor those children above me. And that's a serious crime. This is what he said to Eli. You're putting your children above me. My law says this is how you'll deal with them, but you don't deal with them this way. You know, according to the law of God, Eli's duty was clear. Both as a father and as a priest and indeed as a judge. Eli knew exactly what he had to do. In Israel, if a child cursed his father and mother, he was to be brought before the judges and stoned to death. I want to tell you, you would not raise so many upstarts and so many foul-mouthed brats if that law were strictly put into play. Parents would be careful, kids would be careful, and there'd be a lot more purity. That was the law. Oh, it seems so barbaric. Could a parent ever? Yes, the Lord says, put me before your children and I look after your children. You had to live by faith in that. And of course, as a priest, Eli knew exactly what he had to do. He knew that he had to bring these people to the judgment of the Word of God. And he knew that Hophni and Phinehas should have been put to death for the awful, scandalous crimes that they committed. But he honored them before the Lord. There he was in his house, in his home, his sons going wrong. And Eli could only raise a feeble voice that was just brushed aside. But I want you to notice this, that his failure at home undermined and undid all the good that he ever accomplished in the public arena. Eli, as a man, was a good man. Eli, as a father, was a failure.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.